Well, she was born in Lithuania, a little town in Lithuania, which is then part of Russia, Kovno, and she, you know, she grew up in, you know, not in poor circumstances, in a Jewish family, and worked in factories at an early age, and spent some time in Königsberg with an aunt, and some time in St. Petersburg, and had sort of exhilarating experiences of going to the opera for the first time, and being excited by the music, and then she was, I guess, about 16 when the family emigrated to the United States and moved to Rochester, New York, and there in Rochester, the, this little immigrant Jewish family lived the way immigrants without much money lived, and Emma worked in a factory, and she, at an early age, she married some guy. That's the way to put it. It was some guy that she married, and which, you know, didn't work out very quickly, and while she was there in Rochester, you know, she began to make sort of emotional contact with the things that were swirling around in the United States. You have to understand that this is a time, you know, in the 1880s, the mid-1880s, this is the time when class conflict in the United States is at a very intense point. Now, that period roughly between 1877 and 1914, the period of, you know, which is described in history books as the you know, the period of the Industrial Revolution, the period when the United States became a great industrial power, and it's described as a period, you know, a kind of, it's described exultantly as that time when the United States became, you know, this powerful economic force. But it wasn't an exultant time for the people who worked down in the depths of that Industrial Revolution, you know, and the people who worked in Carnegie steel mills or, you know, Rockefeller's oil fields, or worked on the railroads and who died by the thousands in building a transcontinental railroad, or the girls who went to work in the textile mills and died at the age of 25, you know, to that, and it was a period when all of that was crystallizing in battle for the eight-hour day, and battle for lunch hours, battle for against kids working at the age of 8 and 9 and 10. I mean, here's a sort of a typical news item from that day. Sometimes I find things when I'm looking for them. But this is Trenton, New Jersey. 300 girl strikers of the American Cigar Company. They stopped work and went on strike because they wanted an hour for lunch. They were working 14 hours a day, and they thought that instead of having a half hour for lunch, they should have an hour for lunch. So 3,000 girl strikers, as they put it, and they were girls, they were young, attacked the factory, the American Cigar Company, with stones and sticks, smashed the windows, demand a full hour. They're led by a 16-year-old girl named Sally Carr. Another headline from that era, millionaires living in fear and trembling. Jay Gould, some of you have heard of Jay Gould. How can I describe him? Well, take all the crooked Wall Street financiers of our time and wrap them up into one. That's Jay Gould, you know. It says, Jay Gould's habits altered. due to the fact that there was an explosion at Russell Sage's office, an attempt on Russell Sage's life, so Jay Gould has altered his habits. And they had an interview with Cornelius Vanderbilt's bodyguard. The headline is, Cornelius Vanderbilt not afraid, but his friends are. So, anyway, those are the kind of things. I mean, there's a time of strikes, the great railroad strikes of 1877. And in 1886, one of the important events in American history takes place in Chicago, the Haymarket Affair. And again, I don't know. How many of you have heard of the Haymarket Affair? Oh, this is a very well-educated audience. You've probably heard of everything I'm telling you. And what's the point of all this? You see, but anyway, the Haymarket.